The Business News Hour is supported by the certified public accountants at Shaw and Desmond, looking beyond the numbers for you and your business. ShawandDesmond.com and Insight Advertising, connecting businesses with consumers at InsightCubed.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. You want to reach out to us? We do monitor Twitter at IOB. _NewsHour before, during, and after each broadcast. In the news of late, it seems almost perpetually, is something about IPERS. It is a benefit program for so many people who are employees of our great state of Iowa. And we thought it was about time to have that conversation. What is IPERS? How has it developed over the years? What about the boo birds that continually talk about, well, it's not funded correctly and it's got to go away and we need to make it a 401k and who's involved in all that kind of stuff? We don't do politics on the Business News Hour, but we do want to give the folks from IPERS an opportunity to explain exactly what this is. And with us is the CEO and president of IPERS. She's been in that position for some time. Her name is Donna Mueller. And also, new to me, but I know his father pretty well, Matt Carver from Urbandale is an attorney and also sits on the board. Welcome, guys, to the Business News Hour. Glad to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So let's start with the beginning. What the heck is IPERS? Donna?
Iowa Public Employees Retirement System. And when I first moved to Iowa, I would say something about, well, I'm with IPERS, and start explaining it, giving the full name. And everybody goes, no, I know it.
We know what that is.
We know what it is. My mother's a teacher, my dad is a teacher, or is in city government, something of that nature. And that's because with over 160,000 members, we really touch 1 in 10 Iowans, one way or another, either as a member or a family member is in IPERS. So it was established in 1953, so we've been around for more than 60 years. 1953, the legislature established IPERS as a retirement system for most public employees in Iowa, all the school districts, all the counties, all the cities, and state employees.
And that was a pretty far-reaching opportunity back then. You know, I read some of, Matt, I read about Iowa history, and it seems like we were such a progressive state for so many dozens and dozens of years. I mean, in the 1950s, we did a lot of things. In the 60s, and Governor Ray and the Ty Dam people, and it goes on and on and on. And, you know, it really is surprising with regard to the many cool things that the state did very early on, and IPERS apparently is one of those. Over the years, how has IPERS changed?
Well, the mission in 1953 was to attract and retain quality employees and to provide a secure retirement, and this is key to the message, a secure retirement that will allow retirees to care for themselves in retirement. And that mission, established in 1953, has remained the core mission for all those 60-plus years. And I think it's as important today as it ever was. And that's why I have Matt here to speak with us as well, because school districts represent over 50% of the membership. And I've heard from many employers that it's very important to have a retirement benefit as part of the compensation package to attract employees.
One of the things that has taken over many, many companies, private and public, no longer afford or no longer get into defined benefit programs. That's what IPERS is, correct?
Correct.
So what does that mean? So the people know that.
Let me do a comparison between defined benefit and defined contribution, otherwise commonly known as a 401k.
There you go.
Defined benefit, what that program does is define the benefit that the person will receive at their retirement. So at the time of retirement, your benefit is based upon your years of service times a multiplier. Defined contribution looks at the front end of during your career. It defines what contribution the employer and or the employee is going to put in over the years. And usually the employee contribution is at will as far as whatever the employee wants to put in. And the benefit is whatever you've accumulated at the end of your career.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference is the planning and risk of investing and how much to put in a defined contribution is primarily on the employee. And in a defined benefit plan, it's a shared risk because with IPERS, employees and employers contribute. But also the risk of what the benefit will be in the end is established by the legislature. And sometimes those benefit programs are changed, which had happened with IBRUS in 2010, took effect in 2012, where active members had a different benefit formula from there forward compared to what had been established previously.
Matt,
so you asked about how it changed.
Sure.
So there were some changes.
So there have been some changes over the years. Matt, as representing schools and school boards and individual employers out there, how is this important as far as the carrot of the carrot and the stick opportunity to gain and retain high-quality employees, just what we were just talking about, from 1953, for crying out loud?
Yeah, as far as the carrot's concerned, you know, I think many, as they get into education, they realize that they're not going into education to get rich, okay? They're not,
it's true.
You know, they earn a decent living, but they're not going to get into it to get rich. But in the past, there's been good health insurance or health care plans. And then, of course, we've had IPERS, which is an outstanding pension plan that we have here in the state of Iowa. And on that, I want to note that we're in a much better position than many other states around the country, and it's really unfair when there's that comparison made of Iowa to an Illinois or to a New Jersey or state such as that.
Well, I would hope so, because both of those states are really in the tank.
They are in the tank, and that's what's so concerning is when some come in and act as if the sky is falling here in Iowa as well, which it's not. And so those, again, individuals who've gone into education realizing perhaps they're not going to make as much money, but they'll have some decent health insurance, they'll have a good pension plan. And there's a real concern amongst educators that if there's an effort made to do away with this defined pension plan, and by the way, I don't hear educators asking for the state to do away with the defined pension plan, but that we'll face a further shortage of teachers. And I can tell you right now, I've talked to many administrators around the state, superintendents, who are telling me that they're not seeing near the number of applicants for their positions today that they saw 5 to 6 years ago.
Well, I have to tell you, Matt, when I moved to Iowa in 1979, so that's been a while ago, when I moved here, Iowa ranked at the very top of the list with regard to education. I mean, across the board. If you were an Iowa teacher, you were somebody. And, I mean, for crying out loud, when I was in Michigan as a kid, I was taking Iowa tests of basic skills. I mean, we even had tests named after us. And in the ensuing several years, we've seen, perhaps even more importantly, the past 5, 6, 8, 10 years, education it's been tough to hire people because we see support continuing to dwindle. Further saber rattling against benefit programs like this. And so it's got to be a little bit wearing on you, Donna, you think?
As the administrator of the program, I work with the legislature.
Sure.
And I work with two boards. One is the investment board that has a major responsibility to oversee investments. We're at $31 billion strong in the trust fund. And that trust fund is set aside exclusively for the beneficiaries of the trust fund of IPERS. And in addition, in 2003, there were changes to give more authority to the investment board and also establish a second board, which is the Benefit Advisory Committee, of which Matt is on.
Mm-hmm.
And the legislature charged the Benefit Advisory Committee to oversee the administration and advise the administration, basically my staff and me, and to advise the legislature on how the benefits are being administered as well as to the adequacy of the benefits. So, in following the Great Recession, the legislature challenged IPERS to say, you know, how are you going to deal with the extreme losses as everybody had in the Great Recession?
Mm-hmm.
Ours wasn't down as much, but it was far below our investment return assumption. So how are we going to deal with those losses as well as already we as administrators had been saying to the legislature we need to change the contribution rates ever since 2003 following the tech bubble recession.
I remember that.
So employees and employers needed to pay more, but the legislature never increased the contributions. Then the Great Recession. So
you've had two double whammies.
Two double whammies within one decade.
Got it. Oh, well, that does change the picture somewhat, doesn't it?
It does. And the Benefit Advisory Committee took up the challenge and looked at what reforms could be done, advised the legislature, and the legislature enacted some of those reforms.
And what were those reforms, Matt?
Well, the reforms led to the ability for IPER's Benefit Advisory Committee to recommend changes of between 0.5% to 1% increase in the contributions for each individual employee. As Donna mentioned earlier, 60% of that comes from the employer and 40% from the employee. So there's incrementally, since 2010, we've had some increases as times when there needed to be increases. And by the way, I'd mention that the investment board took some fairly conservative actions here during the past year where they lowered the assumed rate of return from 7.5%, which is
pretty high.
It's fairly high, but over the last 30 years, it's the return on IPERS has actually been over 8%. You know, but to be conservative, they lowered it to 7%, and they also changed the amortization regarding unfunded liability down to 20 years. So as a result of those changes, we'll see not this summer but next summer, for educators anyway, we'll see likely another increase in contributions, again, coming not only from the employers but also from the employees, to be a prudent step to make sure that we're funding the plan appropriately so it's in a strong position.
One of the things that we've heard, and one of the things that had great interest, I think, for lots of people was how underfunded IPERS is. And Matt, you're shaking your head. You know, and what I really applaud IPERS, I mean, you've got like lots of citizen involvement here. I mean, it's not like, Donna, that you're sitting there with an abacus going, okay, this is what we're going to do. Lots of people are involved in these decision makings. And so when I said underfunded, you went, not so much.
Yeah, well, and the reason I shake my head is, again, the when you say underfunded, it relates to the unfunded liability. So they're looking, and Donna could perhaps explain this a little better than I'm able to, but that goes to funding for current members and also for retirees. Do we have 100% of the funds, and Donna, please correct me if I'm wrong here, do we have 100% of the funds right now to be able to cover all those individuals and all the pensions for all those individuals moving forward? Is that
for the next 50 to 100 years? You know, our actuary actually plots out 100 years of payments. And, you know, we're 80% funded, which is considered – we're 84% funded as of the last valuation, which was June 2016.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
And that's considered strong in the industry.
Yeah. So why are we getting our underwear all in a knot?
Because the goal is 100% funding.
Okay.
And we do – and the investment board and the benefit advisory has put together a plan of how to fund that underfunding over the next 20 to 30 years, just like funding a mortgage. The plan is in place.
Sure. When does the advisory board, Matt, do you deal with the legislature at all? Or is this, you say, hey, Donna, go talk to these guys?
Well, we don't deal too directly. I mean, there's some opportunity where we might be able to go to a committee meeting or such and have an individual there to represent the benefit advisory committee. But Donna and her staff as well, they obviously play a very active role in communicating with the legislature.
As we look forward, Matt, are you hearing complaints? And we just said that you're not hearing complaints. The current system, are we hearing complaints from schools saying, we can't afford to pay in more for IPERS as you move forward?
I can sincerely say to you today, I am not hearing those complaints. Yeah. So I'm just not hearing them. I hear more concern, again, about the potential for teacher shortage and the impact this would have on attracting teachers to the profession.
I think it is a fascinating conversation to have, and I'm so grateful you guys took some time to come here and that Judy made possible this opportunity from your PR standpoint, because these are things that kind of get lost in the weeds sometimes. And you know, if we don't understand it, the first thing we go to is emotion. And if we're emotionally attached to this, then we have issues. But if we can think about this with a clearer head, that must help everybody involved, I would think.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity, because we just wanted to get some facts out there about the funding, that we are at a secure funding, that there is a plan in place, and in particular, I really want the pensioners to feel secure in their retirement.
That's important. Yeah.
Because whenever anything hits the paper, we get the calls, am I getting my check this month? Yes, you are.
Sometimes you just have to tell the truth, and that is always very helpful. You know, thank you again for carving out some time. This is such a hot item right now, and I'm grateful that you guys took the time. If you missed any or all of this particular conversation with Matt Carver or Donna Mueller from IPERS, we will have all of this up on the radio blog for ever, it seems like. Thanks, guys, for doing this. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Thank you.
We've got to duck aside because it is nigh on to 6 o'clock. That means the magic strikes and we turn into pumpkins around here. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, Tyler Hackenmiller is our producer. He's on the controls again this evening. The voice of Insight on Business, the News Hour, is Jimmy Olson. The program director for the radio station is Patrick Wood. The liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayer. The general manager for the Des Moines Radio Group is Jeff Delvaux. For all those folks and for the person that created the music that you're listening to right now, his name is James Goodlett. Exclusively for the Business News Hour. My name is Michael Libby. Thanks so very much for coming by and being with us. We'll be back, God willing, tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Till then, be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.